W252DR Oshkosh, and WGBW1590AM Denmark, W250CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing her resignation effective February 7th. The announcement comes as she faces tough election prospects and as she expressed fatigue in the belief that she could not continue her position effectively. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for more international support in his nation's efforts to fight off the Russian invasion.
Prejudices are outpacing life. The tyranny is outpacing the democracy. The supplying of Ukraine with air defense systems must outpace Russia's next missile attacks.
He also called for a moment of silence after a helicopter crash in Kyiv killed the country's interior minister and 13 others on Wednesday. Prosecutors in New Mexico expected to announce Thursday whether they'll pursue charges stemming from the shooting death of a cinematographer by actor Alec Baldwin while on the set of the movie Rust. This is ABC News. The White House says a lesion removed last week from First Lady Jill Biden's left eyelid was a non-cancerous growth. Doctors say a biopsy showed it was a common and harmless growth. Surgeons, meanwhile, also removed a cancerous lesion above her right eye and one on her chest, both confirmed to be basal cell carcinoma, a common and curable form of cancer. The U.S. Coast Guard says it's tracking a ship off the coast of Hawaii that officials say may be a spy ship.
For weeks, it's been watching a Russian vessel off the coast of Hawaii believed to be a Russian intelligence gathering ship. The Coast Guard says while foreign military ships are allowed to transit freely in the U.S. economic exclusive zone, some foreign flag ships have been loitering around the Hawaiian Islands. The Coast Guard is now working with the Department of Defense. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Adult film actor Ron Jeremy has been found by a Los Angeles court to be mentally incompetent to stand trial on multiple counts of rape and sexual assault. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. As we know, I'm a very competitive person. You know how competitive I am? Prick me to start giving blood. They tell me that there's been a contest to see who can fill up their bag the fastest. 5 minutes, 4 seconds. I got done and I said, did I win? And I said, you were the fastest all day.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of our Hump Day Wednesday show. We're going to test the boundaries, I think, today of our listening audience. Feel free to join in the conversation, because I think this is something that we don't talk about enough. And we're going to get to that. Don't worry. But first, coming through in our last segment, someone had thoughts on the 10, being able to name 10 trees?
Yes. This was from a Guardian article. What it was, the 100 ways to make your life better. And the Guardian says you should be able to list off 10 trees that are native. And 507 texture says, as a tree lover, that was really painful to listen to. I think they mean you should learn to recognize those trees. It gives you a greater appreciation for where you live, which is great and accurate. Wisconsin has over 125 native tree species.
Thank you, 507. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you for continuing to listen. And that,
even though that was painful.
If it was painful, I will do better.
We will.
We commit to doing better.
Absolutely.
Of understanding the nature around us and learning more about the trees and the bushes and
the beauty that surrounds us.
Speaking of beauty. So I should preface this, that I am very comfortable with this word. I probably not, if you didn't know this about me, probably won't find it surprising. In college, I was a part of the sexual health education program, which was, I have some funny stories. Maybe I'll tell in this segment as far as being a part of the program that we were in charge of going and giving a presentation on different aspects of sexual health. And then I liked it so much that even once I had been working for a couple years, but a couple years after I graduated, I was living in San Francisco. I then opted in to go through 60 hours of training to be part of, to volunteer for the San Francisco Sex Information Hotline. And so, like, I am very comfortable with anatomical words, but not everyone is. And I brought this story up because, you know, this is not a particularly a Wisconsin story, but it's a universal story. Half the population tends to have one of these. A lot of the population that doesn't have one enjoys them.
I'm just going to let you do this all on your own.
So, Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who, you know, since he's been elected, I do not live there. I know less about him but every once in a while has some of these hot takes, and he's an interesting mayor, and he has strong opinions. And I'm very on board with his message for this, but I think the whole message of it, he's right in how bluntly and proudly, he's saying vagina in order to talk about women's health and how and why that word makes us a little jumpy. So let's play a clip of his speech promoting the new renewed effort to make, in his words, New York City the best place for women's health.
If men could get pregnant, we wouldn't see Congress trying to pass laws restricting abortion. Women are the majority of healthcare consumers. Many suffer from preventable health conditions, yet face more constraints and discrimination than men when it comes to getting care. They are diagnosed on average 4 years later than men across more than 700 diseases, and sometimes must wait up to 10 years or more for the right diagnosis. Think about that for a minute. A decade for the right diagnosis. Vaginal discomfort is one of the top reasons women go to the doctor, yet they are misdiagnosed more often than they are correctly diagnosed. To be clear, that is worse than a coin flip. We would have a lot more research and care options for women's health if we weren't so afraid of saying the word vagina.
The best part, so I got this article from Jezebel, which is a fairly feminist publication.
Very much so.
And the way that they start the article is, if you stare into a mirror and say vagina three times in a row, Mayor Eric Adams will appear and deliver a speech about women's health in New York City. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. So, but I think it's important because I do, as he, and he's very seriously is stating
some disturbing health
there's
statistics.
There's some very disturbing health statistic when it comes to the discrepancy between women's health and men's health, especially women's reproductive health. And I mean, there's so much of the medical history for years, for decades, when they were doing studies and tests on treatments and prescriptions, women were never in those studies
at all.
And so there wasn't even a conversation around, well, maybe this affects women differently. Maybe we should have a variety of people. But it's the same thing that goes with different races, different sizes. And I am team Eric Adams on this issue of if everyone, because actually in the speech, the part that we, I don't think we have the clip for this, but he literally says, he's like, if we can talk about erect, I'm going to say it. There's nothing wrong with it. Destigmatize it.
We see ads for it all the time.
But he says, if we can talk about erectile dysfunction, we should be able to talk about clitoral stimulation. And I'm laughing about it because it's like, it's something that we are so bad at talking about. We're so bad at sexual health education in this country. And it leads to bad health outcomes. And so I felt like I pinged this to you last night and I said, are we talking about this? And you said yes.
I did.
So you're here. And you said, how does this make you feel?
Again, I think this is very much a generational thing.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable.
The word itself. Is it just because it's a bad word?
No.
Like, it's phonetically, you're like, eh.
No. Eh. It's more of those, we don't talk about those things.
Okay.
In private. You know, in public. Shh.
But we do, but the thing is, we talk about the other sex's genitalia with not the same kind of discomfort, right?
But isn't that part of...
We make lots of statues that look like that.
Ah! Part of that, though, is the shame, embarrassment. We don't talk about lady parts. I think...
You're down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to slang terms a little bit later this half hour, which
a bunch
is
of
hilarious.
Yes, slang terms for that, but also slang terms in general that are outdated. But if you have thoughts, and I'm hopefully people are still there and we haven't turned everyone off and they've moved on to different things to listen to, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Because I read this article And I think there is something. I feel like this is a speech you would be more comfortable hearing from a woman politician. And there's something about him and his kind of like gruffness, like I was a New York cop, and that's like a little. It's not off-putting. Like I said, I'm glad that he's talking about it and it's so blunt about it, but we're so not used to it. And so there is something headline making about this and about this topic. And have we ever talked about vaginal monologues?
I think we did briefly once.
Because you were in it once, right?
I was in it
in college. And yep. So which monologue did you do?
I did several. I did the moaning.
Nice. Nice.
It eventually turned out really well.
Oh, yeah, because that was the story. Like your first, because you were doing it with a bunch of
pros,
like professional actresses.
Yeah, they were professionals.
And you came in, and at first they were a little judgy on your delivery.
Oh, they were like, you're not really going to do that on stage, are you? I mean, they didn't say that to me, but so I went home and I reworked the whole piece.
Because what was your approach? Were you doing it more as a joke rather than like actually committing to it?
I wasn't committing enough.
Okay. You weren't actually in the mind of someone who professionally makes women moan?
Right.
Got it. And so you got the character.
Yes. So I found the character, yes. Yes. But even that show hasn't been around now for... Is that still touring?
Oh, that's... Well, it doesn't tour so much as you buy... And it's coming up. I mean, it's always in... It's almost always in February. It's like college campuses. It's always on... It's V-Day.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And so it's around... It's always on and around Valentine's Day. And you... purchase the rights, and all of the money buying the rights goes towards is different nonprofits and organizations that specifically violence against women and girls nationally, internationally. Eve Ensler.
Yes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful piece.
And
very funny, very poignant.
Early 90s when she first wrote it. So this conversation, and it was so much around exactly what we're talking about, is people, including vagina owners, not being comfortable talking about it and referring to it as they're down there and having no relationship with it and being very disconnected from it. And so the whole show, which is just a series of monologues, was built off of thousands of conversations and interviews that the playwright Eve Ensler had
with women from all over the world.
Yes. And that now it's to this day. I mean, I would imagine at Berkeley, they're still doing it. Like that was a big deal. It was one of the biggest, we had one of the biggest and like most well-attended annual productions of it. I think across any campus in the country.
And I remember distinctly that my male co-host at that time was repulsed.
Really?
That I was going to do it. Yes.
I want to ask you more about that off air.
Okay.
Because
that'll be in the book one day.
So I would love for you to join the conversation on this because it's obviously I'm having a great time because I appreciate things that should be more comfortable to talk about that historically have not been, but it is something that is so linked to our health and we should be more comfortable with it. And so if you have thoughts on this topic, I don't even know exactly what my question is. I guess my question is, does this make you uncomfortable?
Or what's
Does
your...
this conversation right now make you uncomfortable? What are you going to ask?
And what is your preferred slang term?
That too. That's a more fun one. All right. 844-967-2789. We are going to keep this conversation going when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until noon today. Overcast overnight with snow likely. Lows around 30. Northeast winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Mixed precipitation likely 34. 4 to 8 inches of snow overnight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today during the 1 o'clock hour. We are having a very, I find, fun conversation. Jane, are you having fun?
It's interesting. I don't think you're wrong. I really don't. And like I said, I find it to be a very generational thing. And I also think this is yet another example of what massive hypocrites we are, because we sexualize everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are surrounded by sexual images. It's used in most of our advertising. We are surrounded by sexuality all the time. And then when it comes to talking about it in the medical sense, with the actual terms that stand for these body parts, we're like, ew, I can't, ooh.
But we're also, it's, yes, what you say, it's like the visual of sexualization, but the actual understanding of anatomy,
it's an entirely
big disconnect.
Oh, whole different thing.
And so we asked before the break, largely one, I think, if there is a slang term that you use for the word vagina, or whether or not this conversation of even talking about it makes you uncomfortable. And this all started from Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, gave a speech in the promotion of their initiative in the city to improve women's health, in which he said all these new initiatives that they're doing and trying to shorten the gap and the discrepancy between health outcomes for men and women. And he very blatantly said, he's like, we should be more comfortable saying the word vagina. So we are having that conversation. So 844-967-2789. You can feel free to text in if you don't want to be on the radio, but also call in. Because I think it's a good conversation to have. And so...
We have Ron on the phone, okay, who wants to join us. Whoops. Ron, thank you so much for calling. What do you want to say?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say you guys have a great show. I come for the Huon songs, but I stay for the fun. and this is pretty fun. I just want to say, as a man, I identify with a lot of what you're saying, just in terms of my own parts, but also... the parts of my female friends and my wife, it's awkward, you know, because I was raised when I was hitting puberty, I was told, you know, you're not supposed to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point my mom sat me down, and not my dad, but my mom, had kind of told me a little bit about the birds and bees and handed me a little book that had been handed down through the family, through the generations. And it was called What Every Young Man Should Know.
Nice.
And we still have trouble, you know, doing I didn't understand any of this until I got to biology class years later. But, you know, there's just this total, and it's an Americanism, that's this total discomfort with, mm-hmm, pointing to something and saying that wobbly part is called a penis. So that part over there, that squishy part over there, is called something else. And
maybe a labia?
So we make up all these... pardon?
I said maybe a labia?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. If you can spell it. But you have to keep coming up with these euphemisms. And, of course, then we have a culture that makes fun of other people. Men had, when I was a boy, a teenager, and even in college, full of all sorts of shame about guys picking on other guys about the size of their equipment.
Yeah.
You know, or I could do this. Can you do that? Or have you done this with that? You know what I mean? It's, there's all of that sort of thing. But the female experience was a complete mystery to most of us until we actually met and became involved with and listened to the women in our life, or the girls in our life.
Ron, I just find it so interesting that your mother is the one who sat down to have the talk with you and not your father.
Well, he was a strong guy in many ways, but he was kind of a nervous wimp in some other ways. I mean, I love the guy, but he was a classic guy who grew up in the middle of the 20th century and was embarrassed to talk about these things because he was raised not to talk about them.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to break these youthful habits and youthful lessons. And again, a lot of people don't want their kids learning about any of this stuff, wobbly parts or whatever, in biology class in the sixth grade or ever, so that makes it harder still.
Absolutely. So, thanks so much for the call, Ron. That was super valuable. And I feel like we need to add wobbly parts to our list of slang
euphemisms.
We're going to get to that later in today's show. Because I love hearing a man's perspective on this of feeling like he also, both for the opposite sex, but also for yourself, of like, how do you refer to these things? How do you talk about these things? And it's like, it is part of your body. And it is things that need to get, not only for like the sexual side of things, but like it is also for us, where the baby comes out.
And some major health things go on around there.
And so if we can't talk about it, if we're not even comfortable talking about it, how are we supposed to be comfortable talking about it with our kids? And so we don't have enough time to do it right now, but when we come back, I think the actual anatomy of it, and this video has been done multiple times, but we have the audio from one of the videos I've seen on a young woman, young, very, very young. She's in like her 20s, and she goes around and asks men. She has a printout of a female anatomy of a uterus and a vagina and the ovaries and everything. And so it's that view, and just asks a handful of men if they can point to where the vagina is on this diagram. And so we're going to play that when we come back. Think about it for yourself.
Could you find it?
Could you find it? If you were approached by a random stranger who had a camera on them, do you think you would buckle under the pressure, or do you know which number on the diagram it would be? I almost made Mike do this last night and film him, and then I decided he's the butt of my joke enough, and I wasn't going to put him on the spot like that. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing her resignation effective February 7th. The announcement comes as she faces tough election prospects and as she expressed fatigue in the belief that she could not continue her position effectively. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for more international support in his nation's efforts to fight off the Russian invasion.
Prejudices are outpacing life. The tyranny is outpacing the democracy. The supplying of Ukraine with air defense systems must outpace Russia's next missile attacks.
He also called for a moment of silence after a helicopter crash in Kyiv killed the country's interior minister and 13 others on Wednesday. Prosecutors in New Mexico expected to announce Thursday whether they'll pursue charges stemming from the shooting death of a cinematographer by actor Alec Baldwin while on the set of the movie Rust. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Hey sis, missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Oh, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats. Okay.
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are doing our best in this 1 o'clock hour on Wednesday, January 18th, 2023, to destigmatize the word vagina.
Thank you, Mayor Eric Adams in New York, for getting this all started.
So, Karina, we got Karina on the call.
Karina is on the line. Karina, what do you want to say?
Well, couple things, ladies. Since I'm coming from a little bit different culture, the cultural shock of America is that you don't expect that Americans have such a problem with the naked body, period. It's either vulgar or screaming a fashion. And when you're going down to the level of a family, some people would say, oh, my parents had a sex only twice because we have only two kids in the family. So it's absolutely hypocritic. And I think it's coming from our families as is, because it shouldn't be a subject of a shush. We're not talking about it in front of kids, or we're not talking about it in front of family. And having sex after you got married is kind of not even exist. So how you expect that the kids would feel comfortable being talked to about something where you're not even touching that topic at all until they get to the puberty?
Yeah,
so I think that if overall, it's more of a shocking and a street experience and the knowledge for people, and then they just accommodate it to social norms. But yet, if you go to a beach, you can't be topless. What happened? You never seen a breast before? Why you cannot be topless? Why is it vulgar?
Yeah, that,
why is it not accepted?
The attitude in Europe is so much different about the human body.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's remarkable.
Thanks so much for the call, Karina. You said we got a couple texts?
We do. Checking in from the 323. That's your old stomping ground.
Yes, it is.
Don't fear or have shame about genitals. That's for Republicans. And Tom from Stallus, checking in. Tom from West Dallas just says, great show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Really appreciate it.
So, as we said before the break, we're going to play this. So you have to visual, because obviously there's a visual that goes with this, but I just think it's, so if you can imagine any biology class or anatomy class of what, and maybe you don't know this, and that's part of the problem, so you should Google this, just not when you're driving, of the female reproductive system.
It's a basic diagram.
It's a basic diagram that includes the parts. There's the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, a uterus, a vagina, and there's different like lines on it that point to a number, and if you're taking a test, it's like, name these parts. So a young woman, a very prominent TikToker, I'm pretty sure she probably made this around the time that Roe v. Wade was getting overturned, so I think it's within the last couple months that she made this. You know, it's like, I think she lives in L.A., so she was out on like a Saturday or Sunday when people are day drinking, and she goes around and asks men to point to where on the diagram a vagina is.
Do y'all ever wonder, do men know? Well, today we're going to figure that out. Can anyone tell me where the vagina is on this diagram?
I don't know. It took me a couple of times to find it.
Trick question. That's not a vagina.
There is a vagina on this diagram.
Five.
Incorrect.
Is it a men's pelvis?
At the very bottom.
Which number?
Actually, probably at the top.
I think 4 through 5.
No, those are all different things.
It's 3, right?
Don't answer that.
No. Okay. 4.
No, you were so close. It's 3.
I thought you said 3. You said 3. Why'd you say 4?
That's a cervix.
No.
I'd imagine number 4.
Incorrect. That would be the vulva.
Vulva.
Okay, so collectively, y'all have guessed every part except for where the vagina actually is. Okay, could you tell me what number 1 is, though?
I dare not, because this is going to be on record forever.
Period.
Someone asked me, someone slid into my DMs back in end of June, early July, asking me to do that exact
bit
with our Republican legislatures in legislators in Madison. I was like, first of all, I don't think any of them are going to talk to me. But it does make you wonder.
It does.
For the amount of people who are making laws about it, how would they do on that test? I don't know. But again, if you are, I'm going to say it, I might get in trouble. We have a new program director, so we'll see how he feels about this new segment. Hi, Bill. But it feels like one of those things. It's like if you're gonna have relations, sexual relations with a body part, maybe you should know where it is, what it looks like, how it functions. Maybe at least a little bit more than it seemed like at least those guys understood.
Well, yes, and certainly if you're going to legislate said body part, you should know more about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, but it's funny because to transition this a little bit, but I think it is a really fascinating conversation and it feels like we're getting some other people also think it's interesting. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a monthly sexual health. Maybe I'll bring back my sexual health credentials.
See,
so this is, I will tell this story before we get into some of the slang. That's fun to think back. Cause like this word is old and words for it are old.
And for both male and female.
Yes. But I'll quickly tell this story because it's one of my favorites of my time of being a sexual health educator. So I was not in a sorority, and there's no judgment about being a sorority, but I when I got there, I was in Vagina Monologues, and I was a bartender, and I had my friends in other places. And so, and I also just felt too old to pledge because I was a little bit older.
Sure.
But I, being part of the, it was called SHEP, Sexual Health Education Program. And there was one sorority, Kappa, which was one of the stereotypical, like, really pretty girl, really pretty popular girl sororities. And they, all the sororities and fraternities had to at least once a semester, either once a semester or once a year, have either the alcohol, like over, like alcohol education,
sure,
or sexual health education, maybe one semester and the other. It was a long time ago. So I know, because I'm a bartender, I know a fair amount of girls who are in Kappa. I've been in classes with them. And so this sign, like, we sign up and are like, I'll do the Kappa one. And my partner, because we always did presentations in twos, mm-hmm, was a lovely woman, young woman, but very awkward. Very awkward. Certainly not of the, she didn't hang out with, like, sorority girls. And there was a very different type of person. And so we walk in, and I don't know, I don't understand. I didn't know what, like, the Monday night meetings for sororities are. I did not know what I was walking into. So what happens is they have these meetings, and at least at Kappa, but I think in multiple sororities, you have to dress up.
Oh, wow.
Like, they have to wear, like, dresses. So I walk in, because I have to go to bartend later, in, like, it's like a white tank top, like, beater type shirt, and, like, boyfriend jeans that I probably should have been wearing a belt. Like, I am not dressed up. Let's put it that way.
So you didn't stick out at all.
And I walk in carrying a 3-foot diagram of vagina. Just like the ones you get from Walgreens that are like the threefold ones. And I walk in and I make eye contact with one of my friends from a class. And she just, like, starts shaking her head. She's like, oh, man, good luck. And we proceed to do our routine that goes through the health part. Like, this is the anatomy. And then we go through different parts about not getting pregnant and contraceptives and different disease, like STIs, yeah, and stuff you can get. And then we ended with sexual pleasure. And, like, we had brought sex toys and stuff. This was the three parts of this educational program. And I'll never forget, and I think I bring up the story because I think it goes to this. When we got to birth control, how many questions we had. How many hands shot right up in the air of clearly women who are, young women, who were having sex, who were trying to not get pregnant. And then we got to sexual pleasure. Not a single question. Not a single question. And I just, that always stuck out to me as far as what, as young women, we are told to, it's, I mean, I'm a little bit older. It might be different now for Gen Z, but, like, the empowerment, or, like, you're clearly having sex, but are you having fun? I don't know. You know, and, like, no one talks, like, you're not really talking about it,
right,
and not being comfortable enough amongst your peers, your quote unquote sisters, to ask about it. But yes. And so,
and I have to think that it's got to be worse for young men, because I don't, and this is,
oh, to, like, ask questions.
Right.
Yeah.
And certainly not of each other.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you be opening yourself up for mockery? What do you mean you don't know that? What do you mean? Yeah. Like our caller said, you know, I would just think.
Well, I mean, this is really getting, maybe, yeah, I'm not going to say this. Mel, should I go for it?
Well, let's.
Yeah. Well, no, but
because we're obviously going to be coming back to this.
We are obviously going to be coming back to this. But I think it also, I think you're right. And it goes to a conversation we've had at least twice, is then where do they go? They go to porn.
Yes. Which is not a good place.
Which, yeah, is, and this is not a judgment on porn. This is a judgment on learning about sex via porn.
Right.
Because porn is not real life. Ah. Anyways, you want to hear some? So here's a fun fact of the etymology of the word vagina.
Okay.
It is a Latin word meaning a sheath, like a sheath for a sword.
Oh, okay.
So can you tell that men named,
yeah,
it?
Oh, well, didn't they name everything?
But yeah. And so obviously, what was the sword in the analogy of where that word comes from?
I think I'm following.
Yeah. So, but that's not to say that over the timeline of slang words began back in 1250.
Wow.
And do you want to guess what the at least on record, what this, because this comes from the Jonathan Green, who has dedicated his life to studying slang. And so his book, Green's Dictionary of Slang, this is coming from that. It's one that's pretty derogatory now.
For male or female?
Female. The Brits and the Australians say it a lot.
Oh, it starts with a C.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday. But that was, at one point, that was like, that was just what she called it.
Wow.
It was not a derogatory name for something. But then they became a little bit more poetic. Venus's honeypot.
Okay.
From the this is the early 1700s. Quim whiskers. That was the late 1800s. Then in 1900s, that thing.
Well, that's really nice. So personal.
The minds of vagina label innovators apparently turned to food by the end of the 20th century, as evidenced by bikini burger.
Oh, man.
Hairy donut. And a bacon sandwich.
We do have a clip from a Netflix series called Grace and Frankie.
Great show.
Yes, it is a wonderful show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And this is just a brief clip when they decide that they're going to go into business making vibrators for older women with arthritis.
We're making vibrators for women with arthritis.
Yes, vibrators. Brilliant.
Please let my water break.
Oh. I think I just blacked out.
Oh, grow up. Older women masturbate too.
Mom! And we have vaginas.
Why is it every time my family gathers for a meal, someone has to bring up my mother's vagoo?
Just say woodle like a grown-up.
Okay.
Woodle?
I've never heard woodle.
I know.
All right. Well, if you hated this hour, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I get it. I hope that you loved it. I really liked talking about it. I think it is, I genuinely, jokes aside, do think it's important to talk about.
And it is important.
In the rare air that Jane and I swim in of women who have a talk radio show, especially in Wisconsin, there's not a lot of us. And so I don't see this topic happening on other shows. And I think it's important. So I'm happy.
It's part of life.
And you're only a couple shades of red.
Good.
Good.
Then I did pretty good.
All right. Well, we are going to wrap up the show when we come back. This has been very fun. But yeah, we're still taking your texts and your calls. So we still have 10 minutes left in the show. So feel free to give us a call or a text. 844-967-2789. I got lost in my own thoughts. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy overnight with snow likely. Lows around 30. Northeast winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, high of 34. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, 24. 4 to 8 inches of snow overnight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic, maybe something about sexual health.
Great.
Is there, that's a great question. Which school district do you think is doing the most comprehensive, accurate, helpful sexual health education in Wisconsin?
Wow.
I don't think you know, but if someone knows that, or the worst, that's a way to bring it back to Wisconsin. But does not have to be sexual health related. It can be anything. We love hearing topics from you or guest ideas for guests to have on. You can always shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And final reminder for today that we are a week away from the $1 million advertising giveaway of Civic Media, literally giving you free ad space. So if you have a small business, if you think you would benefit from some airtime to promote your business, you should mark your calendars for January 26th, Thursday. So it's a week from tomorrow, 9 a.m. And you go to civicmedia.us/million and you'll answer a couple questions. And then you'll work with our sales team to help you figure out what even goes into a radio spot. So definitely do that. But when you're there, just remember, you got to tell them. What did they tell them, Jane?
You heard it from Jane and Kristen.
Jane and Kristen sent you.
Yep.
Very important to put that part in.
It's a point of pride.
All right, so
we have a nice texter that checked in after our last couple segments about proper terminology for genitalia. And a texter from 414 says that was some very entertaining radio, ladies.
Yes!
So thank you so much for that.
So we're not done yet, because we did the slang terms for some female anatomy. But, you know, it's only fair. For the penis slang timeline.
So many.
So it begins in the year 1300.
Wow.
The first known usage of the word bollocks.
Bollocks.
Ballocks. Ballocks. B-A-L-L-O-C-K-S.
Oh, B-A.
B-A. Not bollocks like, oh, bollocks.
Bollocks. Ballocks. Oh, ballocks. Interesting. Okay.
With my Wisconsin accent.
Nice.
And it had longevity. So you can still find it on the lips of frustrated Brits even today. Is this something that Paul's ever said? Is that bollocks?
It's B-U-L-L.
Yeah. With a slight vowel yep. adjustment. Yep. So longevity. So then English speakers only got more creative from there. Fiddle, spindle, pulling prick, all cropped up in the Middle Ages to describe the penis, while bushwhacker, cranny hunter.
I'm still stuck on spindle.
Well, like a spindle on a, like, when, like, what, not Rapunzel.
I get what you're, okay,
with,
okay.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep. Yeah,
what
yeah,
was
yeah.
her name? What's the girl's name in that fairy tale? But she was spinning straw into gold.
With her hair.
In the spindle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's, okay. That's Rapunzel. Whatever. We're not going to fight about that. All right. So fiddle, spindle, pulling prick. Cranny hunter is really something. Fornicating engine.
Wow. When was that from?
I don't know. I have to look at the book. This is just, I actually feel like this book would be really fun to get. This is a book from Jonathan Green, and it's called Green's Dictionary of Slang. And so that book, it sounds like, is slang, not just sexual
anatomy, but all kinds of,
all kinds of slang.
Right.
But this is coming from that. So the fornicating engine is really something. Captain Standish. and I'm sure there's more. I mean, the thing is, like, if we actually really wanted to go there, I'm sure there's a lot of slang terms today that are not necessarily they're newer.
Yes.
But there is still plenty of them.
Oh, yes. One of my favorites, and this is from an old radio bit that we used to do, and She was a comedian in New York, and her mother used to leave her voice messages. And they were just hilarious, depending upon what was going on in her daughter's life. And she would leave these voicemail messages for her, and then she would share them and play them. And she milked this out for quite a long time. But she always referred to a man's penis as a schmeckel. And
Yiddish?
I think it is Yiddish.
It sounds like it would be Yiddish.
I just think that's always been my favorite and preferred slang because I think it's funny.
Say it again.
Schmeckel.
Schmeckel. Yiddish is an incredible language.
It is.
There's so many fun words of just words that are like, that had the good mouthfeel.
And they sound funny and they are funny.
Schmeckel.
Schmeckel.
I'm going to Schmeckel.
Schmeckel.
All right.
S-C-H.
Can't wait to use that with Mike.
S-C-H-M-E-C-K-E-L would be my preferred spelling of Schmeckel.
What was it? You couldn't remember the comedian's name?
I can't. This is decades ago. When we still left voice messages for each other on answering machines.
Yeah. You know what's funny? This is a tangent. Were you a Seinfeld fan?
No.
We, every once in a while, for like background noise, we'll put on Netflix because they're all there, like a Seinfeld episode. And when you start from the very beginning, because that show started in 1989, he had a service. He didn't have a machine. He had an answering service.
Oh, wow.
And so like that, at some point, it was people's jobs to take your message.
Yes.
When people tried to get a hold of you, and then you would have to call them and get the message from them because it wasn't like a machine at your house. Isn't that wild?
Well, and that's a carryover from the 60s. That was happening in the 60s where you had a service and you would call in for your messages. That's really old school.
Well, think about an operator who could just also like listen to all of your conversations.
Yes.
It was just like, I'll put you through.
Most powerful person in the office, man, the operator.
Yeah. And so, I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun. And it seems like other people had fun. If you are offended by this segment, do not email us. Email info@civicmedia.com.
It shouldn't. These are medical terms, yes, people, that we should all be comfortable with. And as Karina said, we are the most awkward people in the world, just as far as how much we love sex, but we don't actually want to talk about what's really involved with sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly different in Europe. Sounds like it's different in Russia.
There's just a lot
more.
I know
less about the conversations around sex in Asian culture and different Asian cultures.
But certainly Europeans are much more comfortable with going naked to the beach. And it's not a thing.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. That is about going to do it for us. But if you want to stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, our friend Dan Schaefer is joining the show at 2:30. If you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you have the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. And for us, that's our Wednesday show. Greg Bach will be here next Wednesday if you missed him. But we will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. to do this again. So this has been As Goes Wisconsin. Have a great day.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said,
a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.